Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity. Irregularity, inconsistency. Incongruity, a rarity.
Hi, and welcome to episode 2 of Anomaly. I'm Jen, and my RPG character is a Vulcan chief science officer on the USS Tiberius. And I am an anomaly.
Hi, I'm Angela. I just landed on Tatooine in KOTOR, and I am an anomaly. Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. I was playing Civ until you got here.
Oh, did I interrupt your game?
No. I'm a little farther. I was not that far along because I get very frustrated and have to start my civilizations over every time I play.
Is that the game where you've created a Jen and David Sim character, or is that
No. That's Sims. I play Sims and Civ. Okay. Civilization 4 is one of my great passions in life, and the problem with Civilization is that if anyone plays it, that it's one of those games that you kind of have to play all at once. You have to play 4 or 5 hours at a time.
So there's not a good stopping point.
There's never a good stopping point. I guess some people could, but the way my attention span is, I have to play it all at one time. So, anyway.
Do you have a problem?
I do. I have a big problem. All right. Well, we're going to jump right in and talk about Battlestar. We are going to do our weekly TV
segment.
Yep. And talk about Battlestar. Okay, here we go. This is the episode, The Woman King, up to The Woman King that we'll be talking about. Right now it's February 17th, so we have not seen the next episode, which comes out tomorrow, February 18th. So we're just as far as The Woman King. And this was a very special episode about anti-Sagittarianism. Jen, what would you like to say about the very special episode of Battlestar?
Well, let's start by saying what's going right with this episode, because there are a lot of things that are bad, and I want to be fair and cover the things that I think were good.
This is a management tool where you say what's right before you criticize. Okay, go.
Okay, well, Hilo turned his bus around, and this episode, he's not a major screw up.
And he's very hot without his shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, Baltar's back in Six's head.
That's awesome. That was very, very good.
It was good to see. I presumed that it was a missing plot, but it's back in the mix.
Also, I have a question. You know how everyone noticed, you know, because they're watching Six, that she's doing that whole making out with herself thing, or making out with Baltar by herself? Did anyone ever say anything about Baltar when he was doing that stuff?
Yeah, but I think the water cooler already talked about that, and they said that basically Baltar is wacky, and
right.
People just see him doing stuff like that all the time, and that makes sense to me. I mean, that, you know, justifies
it. That's true. Okay.
And what else is going right? I think the best scene on this episode is after Hilo punches Ty, and Ty tells him to go get his hand looked at by the doc.
And the way he says it, too, he's all scruffily. Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite characters.
He's probably one of my favorite characters, if not my favorite character right now.
So, okay, that's all I have as far as what's going right.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about what's going wrong now?
Oh, let me count the ways.
So,
go ahead.
Was it just so awesome that we can't grasp the importance of the story?
Yeah, that was part of my thinking, too, is that either it was a completely horrible episode or Ron Moore is just smarter than the rest of us and we just don't get it. I do know, though, after listening to Ron Moore's podcast, some new info, we'll talk about that when we talk about his podcast. But after listening to his podcast, I did feel like I got some more insight. Evidently, the Sagittarians were part of a whole thread that they cut out that was supposed to happen towards the end of the season. And they cut it out and they still had this episode because this episode is about Hilo. And so basically they had to paste this episode together so it kind of made sense. and dealt with Hilo, even though the Sagittarians really didn't have very much to do. Like, there was more storyline about Dee being a Sagittarian and her, and that all through the series that storyline had been cut out. And somehow this episode just kind of got lost in the mix.
So that is why it seems like it's lacking continuity.
Yes.
It's just a big hairball with a bunch of scotch tape holding it together.
It is. And I think, what was the other thing? Oh, yeah. The thing about Hilo, and I know we've been watching this for quite a while, and we've been very good about watching it, and I do not remember the moment. Now, someone in TV land might yell at me, but
podcast land.
In podcast land is going to yell at me, but I do not remember the moment that Hilo was actually
demoted
or
don't either.
Ty being promoted XO. Like, I figured Ty was just back in the room and maybe he was a co-ex. I don't know. Anyway, that he was back in the war room, but I didn't realize that Hilo had been demoted. There's lots of reasons for him to be demoted, and we were mad that he hadn't been demoted, but yeah. I guess he has been, and he was...
Well, he still holds the rank of captain, but okay. His job description has changed.
Yes. Well, and now he's doing a crappy job.
He's a, what do they call it, a pencil pusher?
Yes, I guess. Yeah. And he gets the meat.
He has a desk job.
The desk jobs. And the... Okay, what else?
Well, now Cylons fold clothes.
Well, see, we had differing... I actually liked it.
Domestic Cylons. Who knew?
I have to say, I actually liked that. I felt like the... Even though that is an extravagantly huge room that they have, someone else has talked about, so we won't get into it. But as a scene, I think that scene was good. I liked her folding clothes. I think it gave her good business. Of course, I direct plays, so I think that maybe I have a different idea. But I think that maybe as a director, they said, something needs to be happening here. And it gave, honestly, that whole segment made me like her more. I have no idea why. I don't know. I've never seen anybody fold clothes, pink clothes.
I thought that was, they were white, big sheets or something, but...
It seemed like baby rags or something. No. That's what I thought it was.
Well, realistically, it makes sense. It was just odd to see a person you know is supposed to be like a robot folding clothes. So
yeah.
She, basically, she was Rosie from... Richie Rich.
Well, true, but I think to me, I guess actor-wise, it created a barrier between her and Hilo.
Irona.
Oh, sorry. It was like a physical barrier between the two of them because she was trying to concentrate on something else while they were having this argument, and I thought as a singular scene, it played very well. Did anything about this episode really make sense? No, but, as a single piece of acting, I thought it was okay.
I think that's a fair observation.
Just me.
Yeah. So what else here? What do I have down? I just didn't get why. This was my major beef with the episode. Why in the world couldn't someone just drop what they were doing and check out the doc?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was the big dealio with not wanting to do that? It's like they were all being lazy and they all had something better. I know they were busy and they tried to say that they were all busy and they had something to do, but in the past,
mm-hmm.
Hilo has been getting away with a lot of stuff and mm-hmm. nobody's ever treated him like they treated him in this episode, and it was very abrupt.
I completely agree,
and I couldn't, it was just difficult for me to switch gears from okay, Hilo's an idiot and no one can see that to all of a sudden everybody thinks Hilo's a frack up.
Well, I think it had to do with, and again, this is from listening to Ron Moore's podcast, but the idea was that they cut out things. This is why this messes me up, because you shouldn't have to listen to Ron Moore's podcast to realize what's going
justify
on.
It, right.
But the way that he said it is that what they cut out was he had made other claims doing this job, that this desk job that had been, that they had checked out and found weren't true. And so basically it was a boy who cried wolf scenario. And so by the time we got to this doctor, it was, oh, well, let's not listen to Hilo because he doesn't know what he's talking about. And of course, if you think about it like that, that's exactly how it plays. But unless you see him being wrong, the other five times, it doesn't make sense. And it wasn't connected to the things that we're talking about, with the rest of the show. just, it was something in this episode where he said, oh, this is going wrong, but it really wasn't. Oh, this is going wrong, but it really wasn't. Anyway.
See, I wish they had left some of that in because I liked the idea. I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
I thought it could have worked. And I'm just disappointed that, you know, the outcome of the episode was so, it just seems so hurried, so rushed, so slapped together. And
yeah.
In fact, I mean, even the ending of the episode, the when they confronted the civilian doctor, was it was like the end of every Scooby-Doo cartoon when when the gang confront the villain and he goes, and I would have got away with it if it hadn't been for those pesky kids. It was just like that. Just like that.
It was. And he just, he's revealed as the
villain. Very cornball, yeah.
Well, so. And then the army came charging in. That's what was weird. And, you know, in playwriting, we call that a deus ex machina, which is always what happened at the end of plays and scripts before the modern age, where we should have better ways to solve those script problems. But anyway, I think that's it for now without being a Battlestar podcast. Thanks.
I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems. Why don't somebody solve them? Television junkie, I don't like what I see. I'm a television junkie.
Okay, next is our special segment. And Angela, you just went to Las Vegas recently to see the Star Trek Experience.
I did. It was so fun.
I'm jealous. I really am. So why don't you tell us about that and what your expectations were, and did it let you down? Were you impressed?
Well, I was very excited to go, and I went with my husband last month in January, and we stayed at the Hilton, which is where the Star Trek Experience is, and we just had so much fun. Our elevator came out right by the experience, which, of course, is connected to a casino. We didn't really play in the casino that much because we are not big gamblers, but we went to the experience. It was so fun. The best part, what it is it's two, if you've never been, there are two 4D rides where it's kind of live action and they push you through and you're in the, you know, the experience. And then also there's Quark's Bar, which we ate and drank in. And then before you get to the experience, there's a whole little museum, a little walkthrough museum that goes around the entire perimeter of the upstairs, around where the bar is. And it has a timeline of space history. Space history, and it starts with our actual space history and then continues on with the Enterprise and Archer. So all of the Enterprise lore is still there too. So that's very, very cool. And, you know, then it goes on to, you know, Kirk, birth of Kirk, et cetera, and all the things we already know. There's also memorabilia, and we will try to put those up on our site as soon as we can. But I do have some pictures of that kind of stuff. Some of it we can't put up because Paramount owns that stuff. But we, you know, we'll try to put as much stuff as we can. I liked there's two attractions. One's the Borg Invasion and one is the Klingon Encounter. And the Borg Invasion was really cool. But it was not as good as the Klingon Encounter.
Just showing its age. How old is it now?
Oh, I don't remember. I think it went up in 97? Something. Oh, it did. It was 97. It was 97 because I remember I got a copy of First Contact that Marina Sirtis signed. So awesome. And when I played it it was in 97, and that was the first time I saw ads for, this is what's going to be at the Hilton in Vegas. And I was like, I'll never get to go. So I'm glad that I went. And we had a really good time. Did you have any questions, Jen?
Yeah. Why don't you tell everybody about the quality of those photographs you paid for on the bridge of the Enterprise?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, it's worth it. It's totally worth it because you're never going to get another chance to get your... I got a photograph taken on the bridge of the Enterprise T TNG Enterprise. It was so awesome. It is part of one part of the Klingon encounter. And let me tell you, walking on the bridge of the Enterprise, it's complete full scale, exactly how you'd think it would look. Another Trekkie friend of mine who lives in Vegas was also there, and both of us were just, that was the best part for both of us. We just completely freaked out when we got in there. And you could pay, I think it was like $25 or something, to go in there, get your picture taken, and then they printed it out. I don't want to go against anything, but the quality of the picture was basically as good as printing out a laser photo on, you know, not even cardstock, like a thin piece of not as...
Inkjet paper.
Yeah. And then they put it in a neat little sleeve. And granted, like I said, no other way to get it done. So you have to do it that way. But at the same time, I wish it would have been more. And of course, they pulled you in there and then they whisked you away. So there wasn't really a lot of time to enjoy the idea of, oh my gosh, I'm on the bridge.
Like, next.
Yeah, it was next. So that was the uncool part.
But if you don't mind my asking, how much did that cost for you to pay for that piece of inkjet paper?
With my extremely important experience recorded on the inkjet paper, I think it was $30. Was it, honey? $30?
Which one? The one on the bridge? Or
the one on the bridge. The one on the bridge.
No, it was $20.
It was $20. So it's not that bad. And then it was like $5 for my husband to sit in there with me. And I sat in the captain's chair. Of course. So, but it was fun. I mean, there's no other way to get it. So.
Yeah, I've heard. Now, we work with a person who has inside knowledge mm-hmm. about the Paramount attraction there.
Yes.
And he's given us some pretty sad information. So
yes.
You might want to share that with our fellow Trekkies, just in case they haven't visited the Star Trek experience.
If you have not visited the Star Trek experience and you would like to go as soon as you can, because we have some very good inside information, not naming the source, that it is going to be closed at the end of 2009. And that is at the latest. So get there and have fun. Oh, another good thing is when you go, you need to order the drink. What's it called? Oh, the warp core breach. It's huge. You have to share it with at least two other people.
And that's at Quark's Bar,
and
right?
It's at Quark's Bar. Oh, so awesome. So,
well, one other question I had about Quark's Bar. You had a lot of stories about the different costume characters that were there. You said there was a Vulcan.
A Vulcan woman, and a Klingon woman, and a Ferengi.
Why don't you tell us about what you talked about with them and just how they interacted with you.
The Ferengi was, I think, the best one. He had the information and knew about Ferengis and was, you know, dorky enough for us. But at the same time, his character was cool enough to be able to interact with people who didn't know Trek or who were there kind of to make fun of it. And he was able to, you know, get everybody going, and he was very funny and he was cool. He was cool, and he knew about Latinum. He had Latinum. He was trying to keep away from me because I'm a woman. We have a picture. Anyway.
Maybe we'll post it on our future website,
yes.
Or upcoming website.
Upcoming website.
And the Vulcan woman, you asked her questions about.
Oh, yeah. We asked, this is a silly story, but we asked her what she was doing there, and she said she was examining humans and human interaction, and she wants to be an expert in human interaction. And then my husband, being the comedian that he is, insulted me somehow, and she said, "May I please watch?" So that was very cute. Anyway.
All right. Well, if that's all you have to report on the Star Trek experience, then we'll move on to our next segment.
All right. Thank you. Now here's Jen with our featured sci-fi podcast of the week.
Our featured podcast this week is Escape Pod with Steve Ely. Each week, various narrators on Escape Pod read entertaining sci-fi and fantasy short stories. The readings are all well done and not dry or boring. The storytellers and writers have voices you may recognize from other well-known podcasts, like Mer Lafferty from Geek Foo Action Grip. Not only does she read those stories, but she also writes quite a few of them. This podcast is full of witty and thought-provoking, quick-paced short stories. They're great for the 30-minute commuter. But a word of warning to those of you who have children who might be listening with you. Not all of these stories on Escape Pod are kid-friendly. The host says that the golden age of sci-fi is 13, so they've begun to run their more appropriate stories on an alternative podcast called Escape Pod Classic. The latter podcast is geared towards the tweens and young teens, but they warn that the contents of Escape Pod Classic is PG and may contain some violence or mature themes. It's really up to you to determine whether that's appropriate for your kids. And you can find that podcast on iTunes or any of the major podcast themes. And that's my featured podcast of the week.
And now it's time for the Geek Girl of the Week. Who is it this week, Jen?
That would be Roslyn.
President Roslyn.
Yes. And who plays that character?
Mary McDonnell.
Yes. She would be one of our favorite characters on Battlestar Galactica.
She is, and she is the official first Geek Girl of the Week.
Yes.
Why do you like her?
Well, I like the character because she's a very strong woman on the show, which is not, I'm not a feminazi. I don't need that in order to enjoy a show, but it's nice because a lot of sci-fi doesn't always have, a strong female character. And, Star Wars would be an example of a show that does have a strong female character, although other people would complain that it doesn't. I, on the other hand, am not one of those people. But Roslyn, I don't always agree with her political views, but she always makes me root for her, no matter what. I always like, I want to stand up and applaud
for her. She's strong and still feminine, which I think is important for female characters in sci-fi.
And she has something for Adama, I think.
Well, I think her and Adama have something for each other, but I think that's good. I think that's good. And on top of that, not only was Mary McDonnell in Battlestar, she also played a role in one of my favorite kind of B movie. It's not really a B movie, but one of my favorite just watch it when I'm bored kind of movies, Independence Day. And she plays the president's wife, the first lady. And she's so wonderful. And it's fun to see her do a show that I get to see her, act every week. So we really enjoy President Roslyn. Is she a Cylon?
No.
I guess we'll find out.
Our next segment is called Hiding Your Geek. Too geek or not too geek? That is the question. Do you want to start the story off?
I will. This podcast discussion topic came from a incident that happened in the middle of December. We were getting pedicures with two of my friends, Margaret and Stephanie, who we have talked about on the podcast before. And they started talking very openly about their World of Warcraft characters. And Jen was a little uneasy with this. And it is probably the first time I noticed that Jen was a little uneasy about her geek. So we wanted to bring this up.
Well, I don't deny that I am a geek.
Uh-huh.
I am a geek. I like being a geek. I like sharing that with people. But in public, I don't want to tell people about what level my World of Warcraft character is up to now. You should have seen the reaction of these nail tags we're doing. They were giving each other glances of horror.
So?
And I wasn't talking about it, so it shouldn't have bothered me at all. And you know what? It shouldn't matter. This is good for geekdom. We should be,
open,
letting people know that geekdom is diverse and there are geeks of all types out there. And, to kill the stereotype, because there is the stereotype that all geeks have, the glasses with the tape and the high waters. And they say in episode two, we're not all like that, obviously. We are socially functional geeks.
We are.
And we like fashion and pedicures and, feminine things. So, but society doesn't know that yet. And the reactions I've gotten when people discover that I like these things like Star Trek and Star Wars and things like this, it makes me uncomfortable. They really are shocked and horrified that I would be a geek and would be interested in these things. And the first time this happened, I remember clearly, I was in an art class, and my mentor was my high school art teacher. And I had been discussing with a guy the last episode of TNG, that would be Star Trek, The Next Generation for you non-Trek fans. And she overheard my conversation, and I remember her saying, "Oh, Jen, not you."
Oh, no!
And I didn't know quite how to take that, because no one had ever criticized me in the past for liking those type of things. But then there aren't a lot of girls who like science fiction or, you know, these things that are considered more boyish. And so I'd never had that happen before because most of the people I talked to were guys.
Yeah.
And they're much more open about that. In fact, they are excited when a girl likes the same things they like.
That's very true.
But that I think was like the incident that started it all.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many other incidences, but the most recent one was when we were at the smoothie shop recently at lunchtime. And we were playing checkers and discussing the podcast. We were discussing the podcast, and I'm sorry, if you're listening to this episode, you are a geek. It doesn't matter what the topic is. If you have an MP3 player, you know what a podcast is. You are a geek.
Not necessarily.
No, it's true.
Okay.
But anyhow, I'm getting off the topic here. But the reaction that we were getting from these people saying Nexus is funny.
And that's where I differ, because I don't even notice. I don't even notice. And I think for me, it comes from... I think for me, first of all, it comes from just my personality is very open. And also, I kind of enjoy shocking people, and I enjoy that people have reactions. And so I don't even look for it anymore, because I know that, you know, I know somebody's listening. I know that they're going to get whatever out of what I'm saying that they feel like getting. But I, you know, I just don't care. Also, you know, as I've said before, I'm a theater person, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I've been a theater person since before I could walk, even if I didn't know what theater was. And so theater people are known for making displays of craziness in public. And I just don't care. I just don't care what other people think about me,
especially in that respect.
And, you know, I have no problem talking about things like that. And it is kind of funny, though, because, you know, just to go back to the nail techs, is I have a nail tech that does my nails every week or every other week. See, so I'm very girly. And I remember when I told her that I was going to the Star Trek experience, and she always says stuff like, "So, right, because you like that kind of thing." Or I say, you know, I talk to her about how I prefer my husband to buy me video games rather than jewelry for when she asks what we're doing for our anniversary. And I have no problem talking to her about it. Although I can see why, if you are at all nervous, that people around you aren't helping, because people, the way that they react, especially other women, you know, just because I like Star Trek and Star Wars doesn't mean I can't get a pedicure or I can't get my hair done. You know, it's just the way that I am. But I think I carry both very well. So
yeah, you do. And that is something I'm working on. I don't want to care what people think. But I come from a background where I don't know that many girls that like this thing. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me to make a connection with other girls if I did make that connection, it was over other things like, you know, art or whatever else was going on, and you know, music and things like that. And you just didn't bring up whether you liked Yoda better than Obi-Wan. I mean, those are not things they know
hard
how to discuss. They just can't meet on that level with you. And
no.
And the general reaction most of the time is slash roll eyes. You know, just that's
true.
Kind of what we get in the office too. But there are friends there, and so they're just like, "Oh, that's Jen and Angela," and
they like that
we're different that
right.
way.
But that they you see though, and this is one of our bosses is a geek in another way, and so he brought up something interesting because he is definitely a geek in his own way, not about some of the stuff that we like, but about certain other TV shows. And then, you know, and we've talked about this on forums before, how other people are geeks in different ways. And it's like, well, why is it okay to, you know, the reason that you hide your geek is because of the way people treat geeks, quote unquote, or we say geeks mainly because we've been listening to Geeks On for 2 years, and yeah. So we don't have any other word for it.
And we're not going to say nerd because that would be
And we're not going to say nerd because we think that's a different connotation.
It's derogative.
Well, no, I think it's just a different connotation, but that's a different topic. Anyway, so I think that the idea is that everyone's a nerd or a geek about something. The girl at work that sometimes halfway, you know, she's the real eye roller at us. She watches Big Brother constantly, not just Big Brother on TV, but she gets the live feeds. And I'm sorry, that's weird. That's just as weird as trying to decide who, you know, who you like better, Obi-Wan or
Yoda.
I mean, that's just, to me, that's just as weird. And so I think that everybody just has their own thing, and geeks are very passionate. We're very passionate. So I want to hear how you were able to hide it from David.
Oh, I don't know how I was able to hide it. I really don't, because I think he just decided I was watching shows like that because he was. And he's not a geek, but, you know, he'll casually watch shows like...
Because guys can be casual geeks.
That it's acceptable for a guy to be casually geekish. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know why that didn't come out until recently when I met you and we started talking about geeky things. And then all of a sudden it just comes out in this huge, like, bilge of
It really
information.
Is. I do tend to... bring people out of the geek closet.
Out of my geek shell. So it was a little bit of a shock. He's like, you're not a geek. Why are you, you know, what is this all about? What do you, yes, I've always, you can ask my mom and dad. I mean, I got the Ewok Village for Christmas. I mean, as a little kid, this is something I've been groomed, but you know, by my parents with, you know, for many years, and they've all known, but I don't think the title geek was attached. It was just like, I also happen to like The Wizard of Oz. I mean, that is another, you know, thing that I really enjoy. And so for a long time, people would give me like little knickknacks, you know, the Cowardly Lion and Dorothy and the Ruby Slippers and things like that. And this to me is in that category. Mm-hmm. Star Wars to me is just another thing I'm interested in, like Indiana Jones or When Harry Met Sally or, you know, any other movie that I really am passionate about.
But I think that for me, in a way, it's like, I don't know, I wear it as a badge of honor. To be different. I like being different than other people, and so I think that has something to do with how I wear it. You know, I'd be just as likely to wear a very nice outfit as I would be to wear my Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon is my master now. Novelty tee. And so I guess, but I like to shock people. I like to be the center of attention, and I like people to wonder, oh. But I also think because of my appearance, I don't necessarily fit any kind of stereotype. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny to people.
That's probably it for
that
me,
that I enjoy.
It probably
it out
sounds
there.
Like we're stuck on ourselves, but
no,
we're not. We're not that type of people, but we don't fit the bill.
I think it's good. It's good to put it out there, because if I wouldn't have put it out there, you wouldn't have known, and we probably wouldn't be friends. So no, you got to put it out there and say, it's a good way to filter, you know, you can filter people that you want to talk to and people you don't want to talk to.
That's right.
If you say the word Buffy and they roll their eyes, then...
You know, those are not the type of people you should be rubbing elbows
with. Exactly. No, well, maybe I'm sure there are plenty of people who don't like Buffy that I would
That you would
be
friends
with.
That's true. You shouldn't discriminate against non-geeks.
Well, but it's just like, you know, if you have a... You can say, hey, do you like the Cowboys? And if somebody else says, yeah, I like the Cowboys, and then you automatically have something to talk about.
It's and just, that would be the football team.
Oh, yeah, the football team. The
Cowboys. We're Texans, so we're that Texans. Would be the football team for us.
And I don't know, well, they've been doing bad lately, but that's a different podcast. So anyway, I think it's just, the moral of this is that Jen's trying to come out of her geek shell, and I've been out for years.
Exactly. Well, it's a difference in personalities. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the introvert artist. You know, I'm the type of artist that, you know, wears black and likes to walk away from the group of people rather than towards them. And you're the type of artist who's
likes to be in front of them and tap dancing. Kick them over if I have to.
Hey, look at me, look at
me. And I like to kick past them and say, if you want to come with me, you can.
So
otherwise,
anyway,
I'm going this way. So,
Let your geek hang out.
Yeah.
And if
especially
you
if you're a girl.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
Yep. Very good. I think this is a good one. I'm excited.
Okay. Next week's episode will be fantasy-centric, and we'll be talking about the Renaissance Festival. That's RinFest to you geeks out there who actually go to those things. And hopefully we'll have two guests with us who are avid RinFesters. That's Margaret and Stephanie, our friends. And we'll be discussing what it's like to go to a Renaissance Festival. And I will be telling you about my first experience going to the Texas Renaissance Festival this year.
Yay!
So you'll probably want to tune in for that if you like fantasy and, you know, you like costuming and things like that.
Yep.
And you can now go to our website, which is not completely finished right now, but it'll have a link to our email. And also you will be able to download our previous episode. And you can find us online at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com.
Or you can also contact us by email, girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. And I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you have been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.